Hey everybody, this is Brian, your friendly neighborhood dungeon master and the host of Cannon Fodder. If you want to learn even more about the Fractured Realms and also discover brand new playable content, DM tips and tricks, and interviews with interesting people in the TTRPG community, consider checking out the 20-Sided Newsletter. It's a free bi-monthly email newsletter that delivers a ton of cool content and keeps you up to date on all the latest projects within the 20-Sided podcast universe. To subscribe, you can click on the link below in the show notes or go to 20sidedpodcasts.substack.com. Thanks. Hello and welcome to Cannon Fodder, the supplementary show to the 20-Sided Podcast, all about world building and lore. This is an exercise in collaboration, improvisation, and storytelling where we build a world one piece at a time. And each week, our guest will determine which piece we'll be building by spinning the Wheel of World Building! Last week, we took a journey into the cosmos and discussed celestial bodies. We created a menacing meteor and finally gave this world a name. But this week, it could be absolutely anything. I have signed over power of attorney to the wheel. I bend to the will of the wheel. And remember, whatever we come up with, no matter how crazy, will become canon within the Fractured Realms and within the 20-Sided Podcast itself. We have the fate of the world in our hands, but no pressure, it's going to be fun. So please, with no further ado, allow me to introduce today's guest. Is there anything this week's guest doesn't do? You may know her from her writing on the Betches Sup newsletter, or possibly from the Betches podcast, or her long-running show, Roast of Your Teenage Self. Maybe you know her from television, where she plays AOC on the President Show, Lila on Tuning Out the News. Or maybe you're like me and you want a deep cut reference here. Let's go all the way back to the Brooklyn comedy scene, to the long-running, now-defunct comedy show, Cool Show Not Lame.
Yes,
baby. If you haven't figured it out yet, it's the talented Elise Morales.
Woo! I'm so excited. This is so fun.
It's so much fun.
And I love to be brought on with Cool Show, because that is the deep cut.
Cool Show, I'm not positive, but I think when I first moved to New York, that was the first comedy show I saw.
Hell yeah. I have a Cool Show poster. My right there, the bottom poster under the map.
I love it.
Is a Cool Show poster. So
I still find rock. Myself every, probably like once a month, just singing Cool Show.
Show.
Not lame.
Not lame.
Cool Show.
It is cool. It is show. It is not lame. Pat Wise.
Who was actually last week's guest.
Okay, well then in a way it's a Cool Show moment.
It's a Cool Show double feature here. So if you want to know what Cool Show is like, just listen to last week's episode combined with this episode. It'll be great.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Let's get straight into it. At least I forget. Have you ever played D&D before?
I have.
You have.
And actually, my first time playing, I had always wanted to play. It was of great interest to me. Once I like kind of realized how it was played and what it actually like was.
Yeah.
It became of great interest to me. Couldn't get into any games. Nobody's inviting me. So it's very sad. But then a group of people, do you know the show Rude Tales of Magic?
Oh yeah, with Tim Platt and all them. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're on a network and I was working with another group of comedians to maybe start a similar show, another D&D related show. And we had started meeting in this office space and we were like getting it all together. We had like developed our test game, having a great time. I was playing my first game, loving it. And then COVID hit, actually. So we never finished the game and it like didn't really work like virtually. And so it just ended up not happening. But ever since then, once again, I've been like, I want to get back in one.
Were you ever actually able to play a game, or were you just constantly prepping for this game that never actually came?
No, we were playing. Oh, okay. We were doing like a practice because most of us had not played before. So we were like, meeting so that like number one, we could all like learn to like vibe together and all that stuff before we played like the real recorded game. So we were in like pre-sessions, but those pre-sessions were playing a game.
Right.
So and I was a tiefling warlock.
Ooh, hell yeah.
Yeah. And I I think it was like becoming very clear that I was like kind of the messiah, but we never really got to that.
Oh man. And we'll never know. It's just going to hang out there.
I know. It's so sad. That world just remains unresolved.
A lot of D&D games kind of end like that, where it's just like your favorite show ends on a cliffhanger and then gets canceled for the next season.
Yep. Very sad. Very sad.
Very sad. Outside of the D&D world, are there any like fantasy or sci-fi kind of like touchstone things that were like really influential to you as like a kid or even now that you're really excited
100%.
About?
100%. I'm a Harry Potter girl.
Yes, roast you are.
Me. I'm a Harry Potter millennial. I'm a Gryffindor. Yeah, Harry Potter basically took up the entirety of my fandom space. Mm-hmm. And I like fantasy things. It's interesting. I was just thinking about this because I watched Dune, which is fine.
It's a tough, like, don't get me wrong. The movie is gorgeous. It's a little tough to watch if you haven't read the book.
Well, see, here's the thing is I was thinking about what I like versus don't like in the world of like stuff. And it's like, I like past. I don't like future.
Oh,
I like wizard. I don't like space wizard.
Okay, sure. That is the best description of Dune, just space wizard.
I like a forested setting, a castle setting, an old town. I don't like a dune.
it seems like you don't like all the things that is exactly Dune. You really pinpointed exactly what Dune is, and you said no, none of those things.
And I still listen. I had enough respect for it to be like, I understand that this isn't bad. It's just literally not anything that interests me. I need like an old wizard with a bag of coins who's wearing like Tudor garb type stuff.
I really like, you could have chosen any item for this magical entity to have. And you're just like, you know what? He's got some coin.
Coins. I feel like they've always got a bag of coins. That's the way, actually both worlds. I feel like someone always has like a pouch with like a big, like some big ass coins in there.
You know, whatever happened to like pouches for money? You know, I feel like purses are kind of that, but we've lost out on the idea of like the drawstring pouch that people carry around. How has that not come back in some way?
It's because of it's because paper money did it in.
I guess. Yeah. We got to go back to a coin based currency.
Yeah, we got to go back. We got to go back to the coin. I remember there was like a news story recently that we could have solved the debt ceiling by like minting a super fancy coin. And then that like $1 trillion coin. And then they would bring it to the bank in New York. And sure, that would solve the debt crisis somehow.
I don't know enough about the economy to know anything.
I promise you the basics of this is true. Is that the mint at West Point would make a super special platinum coin that was worth $1 trillion. This coin would then have to be physically deposited at the bank in New York. And then the debt ceiling would be okay.
In my gut, it feels right. Like, honestly, I want it to be true. I want the solution to Google all it. Of our problems to be that simple. Like, just make a really Google bomb it. Ass coin.
I say, I challenge everyone listening to Google it, because I'm pretty sure that the basics of what I just said are true.
And also, that's one of those things that if that is true, it really makes me devalue the idea of like a degree in economics. Like,
absolutely.
All we need, like, why are we going absolutely. To London School of Economics? But all we need is a big ass coin.
Big ass coin. Big ass coin. But apparently that's true. I read it in an article.
I trust you. That's great. I think it is a good time to move over to the Wheel of World Building. I just want you to take a look at some of the options there. I know some of them are a bit small. Okay. There's a lot of options. Is there anything you see on there that jumps out at you as something you might want to talk about, or maybe something you want to avoid?
Ooh, okay. Holidays looks fun because the holidays are coming up. Mm-hmm. So I do love that. Values, that makes me feel very godlike. So I like that. Some of these I don't understand.
Some of these there are some locations in there. The names over there are a portion of like the divinity of this world. So a number of gods are present.
Okay.
So yeah, so there are some more specific things as well as broad things.
So there are, I mean, yeah, there are the thing, the ones that I don't understand, I'm less interested in because I don't understand them, though I'm sure I'll come to understand. I love a fashion moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like things where I'm going to get to create like what's going on aesthetically.
Okay.
I like that.
Let's see what you get. I think it's time to spin the Wheel of World Building. Let me know what you get.
Okay. Games. Yay!
Games! That's way better. Here we go.
I want it anyway.
Okay. We love it. So we've got games.
Absolutely.
Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with like a board game? Do you want to start with like a childhood game? Do you want to start with a sport? What do you want to do?
Let's start with a childhood game.
Perfect.
A squid game.
A squid game, if you will. That may or may not still be relevant by the time this comes out.
Yeah, I'm like, it's probably like the oldest reference. We have a million new shows, but yes, let's do a childhood game.
So of those three continents, I want to kind of centralize it in one of these spaces because, you know, the childhood games that are played in America are different than are played in Europe, in Asia, etc. Do you want to go with like the water continent, the kind of air mountainous continent? You want to go water. Okay.
Water continent.
So water, kind of think of this continent as a continent-sized Venice, Mediterranean, lots of canals, waterways, marshland, stuff like that. It is essentially like a flooded continent.
Got it.
What kind of children's game would develop in that kind of environment?
Okay. My initial thought is, you know, like when you're a kid and you're driving around and you played Punch Buggy?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Did you play Punch Buggy when you would see like a Volkswagen?
We called it a slam bug. Oh, what do we call it? We called it something else. Yeah, anyway.
Wow, I didn't realize there was anything other than Punch Buggy. But we said Punch Buggy and then you punch people. Mm-hmm. So I feel that this, we could develop this, but for the gondola-based society.
Hell yeah. Oh, you know what we called it? We called it Slug Bug. Slug Bug was what we called it.
Slug Bug. Okay, yeah. So I think that gondola gotcha.
Gondola gotcha. There is also the option if you want. There are definitely like gondola type things. We could choose a different name for gondolas if you want to choose something else, if you want to make them like a totally different thing.
Well, if we can call them whatever, then I just really like Punch Buggy.
Hell yeah. So you want to just call them buggies?
Yeah. So we'll call them buggies. And I mean, but you have to see a special one. So here's what I'll say. If you see a little tiny gondola, one that doesn't, it's a little quirky, cute model of gondola. Sure. And that is a Punch Buggy. It's not just your regular gondola. It's that you have to see the gondola equivalent of a Volkswagen.
Okay. Beetle. So normally these buggies, these gondolas are like, I don't know, 15, 20 feet long or something. They house, yes, multiple people. But then there are also like the smart car Volkswagen equivalents that are like, I don't know, 5-10 feet.
And yeah, like, you'll see like thicker, a teenage girl kind of rowing those.
Sure. She's, and all little, of them have the little like flower in the front.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Some of them have eyelashes. Ooh, they're real cute.
I do love the eyelashes on the bugs. Every time I see it, I go, you know what? It's fun.
Fun.
It's fun.
So, yeah.
So it's Punch Bug. You're punching
punch
someone.
Punch Buggy.
Punch Buggy. Excuse me. Punch Buggy. So whenever I played Slug Bug, as we called it, there was a like defensive move you would do. So it was like anti-punch bug or punch bug, no punchbacks or something. What is, you know, kids are playing this in the background. You're sitting next to your sister sees something, she turns to you, she's about to slug you, she's about to say punch bug. What is the defense mechanism that you use as a child? What's like the save word?
Oh, wow. Oh my God. See, we didn't, I guess, yeah, because you have to say no punchback. See, I'm feeling like I want there to be like blocking with the oars happening.
Okay.
What do you say? Maybe that's when you say gondola gotcha.
Okay.
So they say punch buggy, and if you say gondola gotcha and put your arms up, then they can't punch you.
I really like the flow of gondola gotcha.
Gondola gotcha. It sounds like it sounds Italian little bit.
Gondola gotcha.
Gondola gotcha.
Yeah, you really can see like, you know, a gondolier just whistling along in Venice. Gondola gotcha, gondola gotcha.
100%. 100%.
Very fun. I like this. Is there anything else you want to add to that children's game before we move on to maybe something a little more robust?
No, I think that that's a perfect, I think that's a perfect children's game for this little world. And I'm, love the idea of a Volkswagen gondola.
With the Volkswagen gondolas and the gondolas in general, what is, give me like a fun defining feature of these gondolas. Like let's separate them from like a classic Venetian gondola. What is something special that exists on the gondolas in Suruya that doesn't exist in Italy?
Oh, they like all have like, you know how the Volkswagen ones will have like the eyelashes or whatever. Like mm-hmm. all of them have little faces. Like they're all.
You've created a society full of Bodie McBoat faces. Yes,
exactly. They all have little faces and they like have little personalities. But I think the punch buggies are normally feminine.
Okay.
I think the punch buggies present female.
I really like really like. You know, every boat has like a name or whatever. I really love just like pulling that out even further and giving like your boat not only has a name, it has a personality and a face and like a mythos behind it.
Yeah, your boat can be like a little businessman or.
and I guess that, you know, in a society where so much of it is like essentially like where people in LA live in their cars, kind of, because that's how you get around. It's the same in this society. Like you're always in your gondola. So you personalize it way more than you do other things. So it almost becomes 100%. Like a second home.
Exactly.
I love it. That's very fun. So we've got punch buggy, gondola gacha.
Gondola gacha.
Let's come up with another game. So I want to look at maybe like a board game or a, like, what is one of the like definitive games in this world? So it like for us, it's, you know, chess, backgammon, go, stuff like, or checkers, or like card games, like, you know, gin, solitaire, stuff like that. What is a definite, like a defining game that kind of everyone knows?
And this is on the water world.
You can continue going in the water world, or you can pick one of the other
continents. Can move around.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can fly all around the world on this podcast.
Okay, let's go to the desert.
Okay, we're going to Veridun, which has, so Veridun is a continent that in the center of it is a large, like a massive, nearly continent-sized desert. And the exterior of this continent is entirely desert. The Titan that was on it, like, desecrated this land to prevent people from coming in easily. So there is this essentially massive, massive oasis in the center of a desert. There's like a larger society within the forest. We've also established that within the forest, there is like a Times Square equivalent tourist trap.
Okay, great.
If you know Sage Boggs, he really went all out on making that. As well as a lot of the trees in there, their sap is like pure grain alcohol.
Okay.
Which is fun.
Okay, so this oasis is like a party place. Then I think that we need to set up a drinking game for this oasis.
Of course we do.
I think that this oasis needs like its own... its own beer pong, its flip cup.
I've got to remember from Sage's episode, the alcohol sap, like the essentially the gin or whatever the base liquor that comes out of this thing is just called juice.
Okay.
There are also like a number of like Pooh Bear type bears or that go around and like are just drinking juice out of these trees.
Okay, great.
So what kind of drinking game would come up in a forest like this?
Okay, well, the first name that I can't, I only have a name, but it's Juice Flip is the name of the game. And I think that the point is for you to do a shot of this juice. How like strong is the juice?
Think kind of in the gin vodka vicinity. So it's not Everclear.
Okay.
But it's not going to wreck you.
It's not going to wreck you.
There is actually a thing that Sage came up with where the alcohol in this tree is essentially quantized. So like no one processes it at different levels. Everyone takes one shot and everyone is at the same level of drunk. You take a second shot, you move up to the second level of drunk. So like,
okay.
Every time you take a shot, there is a maximum number of shots that anyone can take.
Oh, okay. So this is the game. Everyone starts. It's a party game. You all start all lined up.
Okay.
And everyone starts one shot and then they do a flip. It's only played by people. Everyone knows how to do a flip on this planet. That's just something everyone knows.
A physical flip?
Yeah. Everyone knows how to do a flip from when you're born, that you know how to do a flip.
Are we talking back flip or front flip? Or does it depend on the person?
Back flip.
Hell yeah.
Every single person on this planet can do a backflip. So you take one shot and you do a flip, and whoever is able to level up the most and still do the flip wins the big flip hat.
Ooh, okay. Ooh, the flip hat. There's a flip hat. Okay.
Every bar has a big flip hat. It's like when you win one of those, like, you ate the really big hamburger,
sure,
or whatever. Like, every bar has a big flip hat. And if you are the winner of that day, then you get the bar's big flip hat.
Do you then get to keep the flip hat? Do you get your picture taken with it?
You get your picture taken and it's put up at the bar 100%. And then I think, yeah, you know, I think that what happens is then you get to wear the hat until someone does more flips than you.
Okay. Or,
yeah. It's yours until someone unseats you and you do more flips. And then it's kind of on your honor that you're supposed to come back and give back the hat. But most people do, because people really respect the game within the, and you know that you can't go back to that bar with, if you don't bring the hat.
Yeah.
Back.
I gotta think there's a deep respect for this game. And yeah, it's like your home bar. Like, everyone has their home bar.
Exactly.
That's where you go. Everyone knows who has the hat at any time. So yeah, if you don't come back, it's like, well, you just burned the bridge right there.
Yeah, yeah. Then you're not coming back at all to this space. So for the most part, people always bring back the big flip hat.
So the obvious question is, what's this hat look like?
Oh, okay. This is one of those hats that's like, well, I think that number one, I think that it can vary from bar to bar, but like, okay, and like based on the aesthetics of the bar,
okay,
the hat is going to be a little bit different. But I think the base, it is always a brimmed hat.
Okay.
And I think that it does always have a strap, a chin strap.
Okay. So then you can flip with it.
Yeah. So that you can wear it when you flip.
Okay.
Because once you win the big flip hat, people are going to be asking you to do, you, everybody on the street knows you won the big flip hat. You, so people are going to be asking you, got to do the flip. So you want to have a hat on that can stay on while you do the flip.
When you say brimmed hat, are we talking like Stetson, fedora, sombrero? How big is this thing?
Bigger brim than a fedora, if that's what a Stetson is. Stetson's like a cowboy brim hat. Oh, okay, no. So like, I'm thinking like I feel like a fedora has like a short brim. I'm thinking of like fedora top, but wider brim.
Okay.
Like, I feel like an old, like, priest from the South wears like a hat like this.
Sure.
Like, it's like a,
I know,
wide,
exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
And then bar to bar, they decorate them with different things because you want to know which bar you are the big flip hat champion of.
So my next question is, so all these bars all around this area have these flip hats, these mm-hmm. juice flip challenges.
Yes.
And then, so like, each bar has its, you know, champion. It's like gym leader from Pokemon or whatever.
Yes.
Is there ever a tournament between the champions?
Absolutely there is. Absolutely there is. There absolutely is. And then there's, of course, the biggest flip hat, which you can win and then you can run.
What? So there's a tournament. Is this like a yearly thing?
Oh, I think it's every 4 years, like the Olympics.
Oh, wow. So it's big time.
Yeah. So there's a lot of strategy because you don't want to go in and challenge right at the beginning of a new 4 year term, because then you're going to have to stay mm-hmm. defending.
Right.
So people go in really strategic and they're like, you know, I'm only really going to make my play for the flips when we're coming up.
Okay.
On one. But there are people who have held it for all 4 years because that's how good they are at juice flip.
So this quadrennial for every 4 years, quadrennial, I think.
Yeah.
Tournament. What is it called? And where is it held? Is there like a special location? Is there a particular bar that always holds it?
They have to leave. It's actually so heated and it's such a contentious thing that they leave the planet entirely and they go. They can't. it can't be held there because it's really serious. So they go to the air planet and host it on neutral ground. Or was that a planet?
So there is on the continent of Azor, this kind of like air-based continent, okay. There is a section called the Untethered Cities, which are like floating cities in the sky.
Okay, so they go to one of the Untethered Cities. And there's some rich guy who owns one, one, and they go over there and they do all of it there because otherwise it gets too crazy. And then what was the other question?
What is it called?
Oh, what is it called? The juice flip worlds.
Juice flip worlds. JFWs, baby.
Because multiple worlds are being visited, though it's really only it's kind of like football in America. Like huge in this one planet, but like other planets are like it's cute to have a juice flip team.
Yeah, it's like a thing. In baseball, it's the World Series. It's like, well, there's only one country being represented. Two countries.
Exactly. People are like, worlds, whatever. But I mean, it's a really, really big deal on Verdun.
I love it. I'm trying to think, is there anything else you want to tag on to this game?
Onto Juice Flip?
Maybe like, is there a legendary player? Is there like a Diego Maradona? Oh. Is there a Derek Jeter?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And he's like the ugliest motherfucker you've ever seen. and his name is Rock Schmidoon.
Yep. Yes, it is.
And Rock Schmidoon. He's really short and he's really stout and he's got a really low center of gravity.
And that's how he can just
flip and flip and flip.
There's all these tall, lanky elves that are like trying to do fancy ass flips, but
no.
Too much room to fall.
Short to the ground, just like a little toad man, and he can just flip and flip and flip.
He is now canonically a toad man.
Yes, sure. He is literally a little toad man, and he can flip and flip and flip, and he's really nasty. And between the alcohol and the flipping, like, it's really hard to deal with him, and it's actually kind of sad.
But god damn it, you gotta respect the
but
game.
God damn, he can flip.
There's not much I could have done in this world, but god damn it, I can flip.
He can flip. And nobody's ever flipped like him before.
This is how I make my way through the world.
The goat. Exactly. And he smokes. He's not healthy. He's not. No one knows how he's still with us.
I really love the idea that he's just got a big fucking like thick, you know, Wolverine cigar in his mouth while he's flipping and taking these shots.
And he's flipping and flipping and flipping. And he does wear, of course, like a little mobster's suit.
Oh, of course. Like old time, like 1920s zoot suit type thing with a big pocket watch chain or something.
Yeah, big shoulders, the whole thing. And he's just flipping and flipping and flipping.
Fucking Rock Schmidoon.
Dune. Mm-hmm.
Guy's a legend, man. Fucking legend.
He is. He's a fucking legend.
So fucking great. Rock Schmidoon. Juice Flip Worlds. We've got a great drinking game here. So we've done Ceruya. We've done Verdun. Let's do one more game. Let's go over to Azore.
Okay.
Azore has kind of two, or really three sections to it. There are the lowlands, which are covered in a wandering miasma. So this kind of like noxious gas of sorts.
Sounds terrible.
This is where the Drag Empire exists. High in the mountains, there are a number of like monasteries. A lot of Arakokra live there, so like bird people. And then high above the mountains in the Untethered Cities, this is kind of like a almost sci-fi Manhattan stand-in.
Okay.
I want to do one more game. I want to throw in a little bit of a like magical element to it. So some kind of like extra fantasy thing. Maybe it's like they race, you know, sky jet things. Maybe they like cast spells while playing a game. What is a game that's happening in one of these three areas?
Ooh, okay. And this is the flying place. We're up in the sky. I mean, I really like the idea of these bird people. What's their deal?
Honestly, we don't know too much about the Arakokras. They're like high in the mountains. There's a bunch of like very Spartan monastery type places. It's very, very much like a monk society. They are bird people. So they're kind of like, you know, they have wings, they can fly around. That's kind of all we've established for them. So if you want to kind of, on top of creating a game for them, you can kind of tailor that society to your game, should you so choose. You found kind of a blank spot on the map that you can do with what you will.
Okay, well then obviously we have to do this. So, okay.
The power.
Their game is called Feather Flop.
Feather Flop. Oh, I like that. Okay.
We've got Juice Flip and we've got Feather Flop. And the way that Feather Flop works, so they have the Wingardium Leviosa spell from Harry Potter. It exists in this universe and they can use it.
Sure.
And they take their little feather and they try to guide it onto like a specific place.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Usually maybe to like mess with someone else. So like they'll like guide their feather to be like, so you'll tell someone like, okay, Feather Flop, that guy Brian, and then you will magic your feather over and it would hit you and you would be like, ah, a feather.
So this is more like a game that like teenagers are playing on the subway.
Yes, this is more like a game. So it's like they go into the Manhattan of it all. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, here's the thing is like these teenage bird people, they come into the city and people act like, you know, they act like they're troublemakers, even though they're not. They're really just regular teenagers.
Right. They're really just passing around feathers.
They're just messing around. It's just pranks like any other teenager would do. So playing into that reputation, now they have developed some minor shenanigans that they like to play upon the regular city goers. And Feather Flop is one of them, where you try to guide your feather to hit someone in the face. You pluck a feather out and then you guide it to like hit someone in the face mostly to hit someone in the face. And then really, they're like, ah, what happened? And then really like you and your friends laugh.
You've come up with like a TikTok trend is what this feels like.
Yes.
This is like a viral TikTok game.
That is actually how it is used. So the bird people, they have some to social media of their own.
Sure.
And so they do love to like post videos kind of the people like a businessman going to work and then he gets feather flops and he's like, you freaking bird kids.
Okay.
And
so
then they're like flopped. Usually like they'll put a big thing on your face that's like flopped.
So in this game, what is the feather flop video that has gone viral? What is the like number one feather flop video?
Oh, Flop the Cop.
Flop the Cop!
Which is where a group of kids all feather flopped the same cop and he was going crazy. He's getting so pissed off, but the feathers are coming at him so fast that he can't make an arrest. And then he starts to run after them and he ends up falling on some of the feathers. Face plants, and that's when they do the flopped, and it's just a classic.
It's like flop, and then there's a second flop on top. I can see like they hyperimpose flop, one and to hyperimpose flop. Another one.
Yeah, that's the thing because he keeps falling on the feathers. He keeps getting up and falling. So every time he falls, he goes flop, flop, flop. And so it's like, it's a really famous video.
So I got to think, just because I want to develop that guy, this guy, whoever this cop is, going about his day, gets flopped to shit by all these Aarakocra teens. He is now like infamous in this world. What is either his real name or the name that people have like ascribed to him? Like, do they call him like Flop Cop or like what?
Yeah. Well, oh yeah. Everyone calls him Flop Cop. His real name is Officer McKibben Lofts.
Officer McKibben Lofts?
Yes.
Love
He's Officer McKibben Lofts. And this has ruined his life.
Oh, yeah.
This is absolutely.
No one at the station respects him.
Absolutely ruined his life. And yeah, well, first of all, he was put on administrative leave for weeks. He's a laughingstock. He can't go to the grocery store.
Just a bunch of kids. Like everyone is now trying to like flop the flop cop.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, basically, it's completely inhibited him from being taken seriously as an officer. His wife left. Like, it's ruined his life.
Oh, no. I'm so...
It's unfortunate.
I'm so hoping for, like, a future season of the show we can give this guy some kind of redemption arc. Because he needs it. He needs it.
I mean, maybe, you know, it's too bad what happened to him, but also he was complicit in a system.
This is true.
He was complicit in a system.
This is how he learns. Who's
exactly. Because who doesn't want to be judged anymore? Flop cop. He was judging the teens.
And he's
judging
learned.
These teen birds.
Shouldn't judge.
And then there you go.
Flop cop. Hashtag flop cop.
Hashtag flop cop.
God, I'm really saying that. Just around the house. Hashtag flop cop. Anything else you want to hang on top of Feather Flop? Any other like bonus rules or tidbits before we move on to our lightning round?
If you can get the feather in their mouth, it's like the best possible. Like you're really trying to get the feather in their mouth.
Gotcha. That's like the mega flop.
Yeah, that's the mega flop. Exactly. Exactly what it's called.
Love
the
it.
Top flop.
The top that's flop. The top flop. Top flop. Dude, you just top flop flop cop. Fuck yeah, same. Man.
That's exactly how the video begins.
Love it. Hell yeah. That we've created three pretty fun games. We've got a childhood
really
game,
agree.
A drinking game, and a teen TikTok game. Not where I thought we were gonna go when this podcast began, but I'm so glad we made it there.
No, it's I was nervous that I wouldn't be able to come up with any games, but they really
we got three good ones.
I really felt inspired. Yeah.
And the best thing about this is that each of them is built on like the surround, like these aren't games in a vacuum. They are coming from what is around, which is kind of like what we want on the show. Okay, so on the show, we have two segments. The first is Wheel of World Building, which we've just done a great job of coming up with some games. The second, beautiful. Of course, is Lightning Round.
Okay.
This is the segment of the show where I ask three questions quickly and we answer them at a meandering walking pace.
Okay. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Okay. We're in our lightning round. I've got three questions for you. The first, what is a rumor that is currently going around one of these kind of like three circles? So kind of related to one of these games that we've talked about, what is a rumor that's currently going around about one of them?
Oh, that Rockshmadoon.
Yeah.
He's hooking up with the mayor of the air town.
Ooh, okay.
He's sleeping with the mayor because the thing about Rockshmadoon is he's actually a prolific lover of women and men. And he's left a string of messy, messy relationships in his past. And so people are really worried because he's been seen now with the mayor. And people are really worried because they're like, there is just no way that the mayor is going to be able to deal with all the issues that the city needs when she's getting dicked down by Rockshmadoon.
I mean, Rockshmadoon, he's a flipper, but he's a lover.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that's the thing is like he has such control over his body.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that's like it. The way that he's able to precision flip is what he brings to the bedroom as well. So even though he's a terrible guy. He's still swimming
lover.
In it.
Full body control of all things.
Mm-hmm. Full body control.
He's bringing flip into the bedroom for sure.
Yeah.
He's got pinpoint accuracy.
On
I love it. Second question.
Okay.
Associated with one of these games, what is the name of a person and what is the most interesting characteristic about them?
Okay. Let's see. Oh, Petunia.
Hell yeah.
Wigglesby.
Petunia
Wigglesby invented the little gondola, now known as the punch buggy.
Okay.
Because she wanted to be able to get to and from all her little events.
Okay.
And she didn't like how big and nasty all these gondolas are when I'm just one little woman. And so, and she likes to keep everything very, very tiny.
Okay.
And she lives in a little tiny house and she has her little tiny gondolas And she wears little tiny shoes and eats little tiny meals. And she's just like this teeny tiny little lady who invented a teeny tiny boat for teens.
I love it. just got a miniature little person, a miniature little life.
Yes. And sometimes you can catch her just sailing around in her little tiny boat. And people love it. It's like a really big celebrity sighting if you catch her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Third question is a two-parter. We always like to end the show by allowing our guests to ask any question they have about the world for our next guest to answer.
Okay.
Last week we had on Pat Wise, and this was the question he had for you.
There's definitely a group of people that's somewhere in this world that is desperate to be left alone. And it's because of something crazy. Like, they are nuts. And they, you know, it's a cultish thing that, like, they all believe something that is totally different than what everybody else believes. And they're just like, the only way we can do this in peace is to be in this mountain all by ourselves. And it could be like, this is a real thing, or this is a myth, or like, there's a story about these people, some sort of like extra civilizational people that are like, what's their deal? And what do their clothing look like? That's my favorite thing about
what is their clothing look like?
They're all wearing red tracksuits, red Nike tracksuits.
So the base of the question is, what is a like isolationist cult in this world? What's their deal? Mm-hmm. And what are their clothing?
And what are they wearing?
Okay.
What are they wearing? The most important thing is what they're wearing, because that identifies them in the world.
Got it.
What do you think?
Okay. So on one of the like floating air cities, mm-hmm. there's like, in the history of the inequality situation in the air world is like not great. And so mm-hmm. a lot of billionaires, eccentric billionaires, have been able to purchase different floating little islands for mm-hmm. their own purposes. Right. So one of them lets people hold the juice flip tournament on it. But there's another one that an eccentric billionaire bought, and he has brought his cult to it.
Okay.
And they believe that, let's see, what do they believe?
What is their thing?
Their thing is that, okay, he's convinced everyone that they're living in his dream.
Okay. I dig that.
And if anyone comes anywhere near the planet, they attack immediately, or the little island, they attack immediately.
Okay.
And they've actually, okay, this actually went down, like, this is like ancient that this has been happening.
Okay.
Like, they quartered off this area a long, long time ago. This guy was like a billionaire from like a gazillion years ago. And so now it's really developed a long, 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 long time. Mm-hmm. And it's become like a real religion that they think that they are all living in this guy from a billion years ago's dream. And the thing is, they are right.
Ooh, I fucking love that.
So they have it 100% right. And everything else that is happening is, you know, people don't even realize, but they are actually all just living in this old rich guy from a gazillion years ago's dream. Yeah.
And then the other part of that question is,
what are they wearing? What are they wearing? They all wear like morph suits, like what people wear, to like what a green, like the guy who plays,
like green man suit type thing.
Yeah. Like a motion capture suit. Yeah, they all wear that because they're developing some really advanced technologies on there. They're not really forthcoming about what they are, mm-hmm. but they have sort of realized, because they realize that they are in a dream,
yeah.
they can unlock technologies and abilities that we just aren't able to because we don't realize that we're in a dream.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I dig it. We're all living in some rich guy's dream.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This won't alter the fabric of the world I've created at all.
Sorry.
You know,
it's just a dream.
This world is written in pen. This is in ink. I love it. It's very fun. The second part of that question is, what is a question you have about the world for our next guest to answer?
Okay. my question for the next guest to answer is, who is this world's most notorious criminal?
Yes. Hell yes. Great fucking question.
And I want the whole backstory, everything, like what made them that way, what they
What's their signature style, are they serving time?
Yes. Modus operandi, everything.
I love it. The answer is, I don't know, but we're going to find out next week on Cannon Fodder. To steal a line from Walter Cronkite, that's the way it is, ladies and gentlemen. Load up all that lore, fire it directly into the Fractured Realms. That is it for this episode of Cannon Fodder. Elise, before we get out of here, anywhere people can find you, anything you want to plug?
Absolutely. You can just find me on my Instagram at Pandalise. That's P-A-N-D-A-L-I-S-E. You'll be able to see everything I've got going on from there. So follow me.
Hell yeah. I'll put all those links in the show notes. And if you want to see all of today's world building put into action, you should check out our parent show, the 20 Sided Podcast. Season 2, Prisoners of the Static, is airing now. And you can also find all 11 episodes of our first season titled Escape from the RMS Titanfall, available now on all podcasting streaming services you can imagine. If you're listening to this show, you know exactly how to get podcasts. So type in 20 Sided Podcast and you'll find everything you could ever imagine. But for now, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.